It's a place where we say, God, I'm no longer doing it on my own. I'm following you. Let that be our heart this morning. God, as we get into your word here in a few minutes, God, that we would yield to your word, that we would yield, God, to your perfect plan, that we put aside our thoughts and our own intentions, and that we would just say, God, your will be done. God, we want to live your way. So, Father, we just love you. We thank you for your love for us. We pray this morning as we, God, get into your word, as we share a few announcements, that you would just lead us and guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. Well, good morning. We're so glad you guys are worshiping with us this morning. If you are new to Mount Zion, we want to extend a special welcome to you. We're so glad that you're here to join us this morning. We would ask if you would fill out, there's a connection card in the seat back in front of you. If you would bring that back to the Welcome Center back in the foyer, there's a little table there. We have some information and a gift we'd like to give you. We'd like to get to know you a little bit. Also, for those of you guys who come regularly, that's a way for you to get better connected to our church. If you want more information on small groups, if you want to meet with a pastor, different ministries, you guys can use that card as well. So please take use of that. I want to thank you guys so much for your faithfulness and your giving. You know, at Mount Zion, we don't pass a plate. We just trust that you guys are going to be faithful to be obedient to what God has asked you to do. So thank you for your faithfulness. If you guys do have a tithes or offerings to give this morning, there's tithe slots in the foyer as you guys leave. This morning and this afternoon is going to be an exciting day. We have some baptisms after second service. We want to encourage you guys all to come. It's a time of fellowship for our church. We do this every year. And a time to celebrate those who are saying, Jesus, I surrender. Jesus, I'm following you. Jesus, take it all. And so after second service, we're heading down to the beach down in Lake Geneva. The church, we're providing hot dogs and drinks, and we just ask you guys to bring a side or a dessert to share. It'll be a great time of fellowship, a time of worship down there, and a time for us to just celebrate with those who are surrendering their lives to Christ. I want to make us aware of something exciting that's going to be happening this next week. Jeff Grinnell is a friend of mine. He's a mentor of mine. He has been working with teens and youth for the last 35 years in so many different capacities, from being a youth pastor to being professors at colleges, leading youth pastors, and now he travels around and speaks to thousands of students almost weekly, and he goes to churches, and he just pours into churches and teaches them how to better reach young people. And so he's coming to our church this next week. He's going to be with us in our youth ministry, but he also wants to pour into the parents and anybody who works with teenagers. Maybe you're a grandparent, but you watch your teenager, or maybe older elementary school student, and you just don't understand them. You don't understand the culture they live in. You want to be here on Saturday at 12 o'clock. There's going to be a parent session, and Jeff actually wanted to shoot a video and send it to you guys just to invite you. So take a look at the screens and watch this clip.
Parents, hello, it's Jeff Grinnell. Hey, next weekend, Saturday, from noon to 1:30, I'm going to be with you, and we're going to be talking about parenting today, these millennials and Gen Z, right? Maybe if we understand their world and their culture a little bit, we might be able to do a better job of parenting. I don't know. I have had three kids. I have three grandkids now. I safely made it out, and it didn't bother me too much, but anyway, and I want to help you. So if you'll join us next Saturday, the 22nd, from 12 to 1:30, we're going to do a parenting seminar, and we're going to have a blast. We're going to learn from each other too. We're going to do a Q&A within that, but I'm going to share some things that I've learned that that have helped me communicate to teenagers for the last 35 years. Okay, so God bless you. Hope to see you next Saturday.
Awesome. So I'm pumped. I hope that you guys can make it. Listen, if you have a student, even older elementary, the stuff that he's going to be talking about is going to be so applicable. So it's $10. Lunch is provided. If you are interested, please come and see me. We'll be down in the youth room on the other side of the building. We wanted to make you aware there's women's Bible studies that are starting up and other women's events that women, you need to be a part of. They're going to be great events to help you grow in your faith and build in fellowship. So they have a booth outside in the foyer. Please go and find them. Find out when all their Bible studies meet and some of the events that are coming up. Also, we have a calendar, a Save the Date event that we want you to make aware of. We do this every year. It's an awesome event, a time of fellowship. We're having a harvest picnic with the We're roasting a whole pig. There's going to be awesome food, awesome fellowship. It's October 7th. We meet right here down on the other side of the building. So please come be aware of that and get that on your calendars. And the last announcement this morning is we want you to make you aware that after service, first service, we always have fellowship and we have snacks and drinks in the foyer, but now we've moved that over to the side. So after service, you guys can go down there and spend some more time in fellowship. We want to take a few minutes this morning and pray together corporately. And so I'm just going to ask you guys to stand with us this morning. We want to lift up those on the East Coast dealing with hurricane relief. We know that there, Samaritan's Purse and other ministries are down there. There's churches reaching out. And this is a time when really when people may open up to the gospel. We saw that happen Amen. Here with the flooding, that people, we got a chance to get into their homes and people opened up to the gospel. And we just want to pray for protection and pray for God to just move and be in the midst of that. And then Pastor Dave is going to share the word with us. Father, we thank you so much for just your love for us. And God, and we know, God, that the things in this world are temporary, but God, we live eternally after this life. And so there's so many people over there, God, that their physical stuff, their life has just been flipped and turned upside down, Lord Jesus. And God, they're looking for answers. They're looking for hope. God, they don't have peace, Lord. And we just ask that in the midst of the storm, Lord, as we sang this morning, as your word says, that you'd bring peace. God, that you would just anoint those churches to reach out to bring physical relief, but also to bring spiritual hope, Lord, and that you would, all the ministries that are going to be down there, we just ask, Lord, that you would just pour out your spirit and that you would bring salvation and that you would bring hope into a place that there's so many people who don't know where to go and where to turn. We just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Dave.
All right. So you may be seated. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Peter today. We're going to be in the second chapter, and we're going to start in the 11th verse. Before we start, I want you to turn to somebody and say, I hope you're ready for this. What we're going to talk about this morning is what Peter's talking about, and it is so countercultural. It is so against the grain of what's going on in our nation today and the attitude of people today. And so I'm going to read and we're going to walk through the points, but it's my prayer that we could get it, if we could understand this, and as a church, if we could grasp it and it would catch on to our nation, it would change the nation. It would turn us upside down like the church did in Acts. So as we begin, Peter says in verse 11, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate when he suffered. He made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. You were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would breathe life into these words, and that, Father, we could understand the message. That, Father, our hearts would have the attitude that Christ has, and we could see it in the text, and it would become reality to us, and we would live it outside of these doors. In Jesus' name, amen. Your first point, if you're following in your outline, elect exiles must not surrender to society's sensual seductions. You see what he says? He says, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. The sinful desires, the temptations that come your way, wage war against your soul. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. Peter's writing to a group of people that live in a pagan society where everything outside of the church, they're trying to pull the people into sin. Does it sound like something you might be in right now? Think about our world today. We've talked about this when we talked about girding up the loins of your mind. We don't even think biblically anymore. Sin today is no big deal. Even in the church, we accept it. We allow it. We just go, well, that's the way it is today. Wrong, church. And Peter is exhorting his audience, don't submit, don't surrender to the world, don't go the world's way. It's so important, church, that we understand this. And then he turns, in a sense, to evangelism. Look at your next point. Win the lost with your godly behavior. In verse 14, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits. You see, if we won't cave in to the way the world wants us to go, and if we stay close to God and we stand out, why? Because of righteousness, because of something I'd love to get back into the vocabulary of the church, which is a holy life. You talk about holiness now, and people are like, oh no, that's not for me, you know. They're afraid they might have to stop doing something they're doing and start doing things that they haven't been doing. But when you live a holy life, you win the lost with your good behavior. I can't imagine what it would be like to be in high school today with all the temptations pulling teenagers one way and the other. Parents, come Saturday. Learn all you can on how to keep your teenagers close. I refuse to cave in to this whole thing that by the time teenagers, you know, get into high school, that they leave church and they lose their faith. I'm not going to buy it. The power of God is still effective today. We shouldn't cave in to the world, but we should be winning the lost with our godly behavior. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. Listen to what Jesus says, all right? In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. You think maybe Peter heard that someplace before? And so he writes it to the elect exiles who are in a foreign place, and they are the outsiders. If you remember, they had absolutely no privileges. And he says, don't give in. And the enemy's already talking to some of you, and you're going, yeah, but how am I going to survive in this crooked world where they say I can't talk about Jesus, where they're going to sue me, you know, I'm going to offend somebody and be politically incorrect. Look at your next point. Innocence always conquers guilt. Peter says if you're going to get punished, punish for doing what's right. Don't get punished for doing what's wrong. You can deny God. You can be quiet about God. You cannot live out your faith and everything will go fine with you in the world. But you won't win. Listen to what Proverbs 28:1 says. The wicked flee, though no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as lions. You know why I can stand tall and strong in a crooked world is because if my feet are on the rock, his name is Jesus. If I'm living a holy life, if I wake up in the morning and I'm not guilty, all the Bible scholars ought to be saying, we're all guilty. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're right, but we're also forgiven. If you are forgiven, then you can wake up in the morning and you're not guilty and you can stand bold as a lion because you're standing with Jesus. You're standing on the rock. You're walking with him. But the wicked flee when no one pursues. Guilty people are always looking over their shoulder wondering when they're coming to get them. Anybody notice that one? One day, Chaplain Larry and I went to talk to a man. This is 20-some years ago. I think it was Christmas Eve, and he was wanted by the law. And we went and we talked him into turning himself in. The day after Christmas, he turned himself in. And I'll never forget his words. He said, I'm so tired. I'm so tired, he said, of fearing those red lights if they're coming after me. You see, the righteous stand bold as a lion. But the guilty flee when no one's pursuing them. They're always afraid. They're always worried. And Peter is saying, come on, let your godly lives win the lost. For homework later on today, because it's Sunday and I know you want to give your day to God. Read Romans chapter 12. See? Treat evil with kindness. Woo. Inasmuch as is possible for you, live at peace with all men. Woo-hoo. Vengeance is mine, God says. I shall repay. Turn to your neighbor and say, that was the easy part. You ready for the tough part? Are you ready? I don't know if you're ready. You ready? Submit to every human authority because you are a Christian. Not my words, Peter's words. See what Peter says here. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to the governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong, to commend those who do right. You know what this means to me? It means I have to submit to Donald Trump's leadership. What's the attitude in the world today, church? The world is in rebellion today. It says God puts leaders in place. It says you have to submit to the authority that has been put in place by God, whether they're Republican, whether they're Democrat, whether it's coming to this, I'm going to show you in the text, whether they're just and fair or whether they're totally out of whack. And the attitude in our world today is so different. There's no submission. There's a lot of rebellion. I want the Holy Spirit to search our hearts today in the church and say, what's Peter talking about? Is Peter right? Should we listen to him? Is he correct or isn't he correct? I know he's correct. But rebellion has taken over and everybody has rights and they're going to fight for their rights. When I think about the way this starts, here's what goes on. Children rebel against their parents. I know none of you have ever rebelled against your parents. Then they go to school, and they rebel against their teachers. More and more what I see, folks, is that when children are punished in school, the parents side with the children instead of the teachers before they even know what happened. Folks, that's rebellion. Because those children are going to grow up and they're going to get jobs and then they're going to rebel against their bosses. Everybody tracking? And it just goes on and on. Folks, when I was in fourth grade, the teacher took the toughest kid in class. He was in fourth grade, he could beat up a sixth grader. I saw it. She took him outside the first day of class, and all we could hear was him smacking against the lockers, and he came in crying. You think I wasn't good that year? I was good that year. Now, that was totally wrong, but we submitted. In my architectural drawing class, we had T-squares this long. And if you talked and if you disrupted the class, the teacher didn't come and say, hey, Dave, would you please be quiet? He would walk up behind you quietly and he would wind up and smack you with a T-square. And my dad never said, oh, that was the wrong thing to do. See, there was discipline. Was it right? You couldn't even think of that today. But there's so much rebellion going on. Peter doesn't say rebel. Peter says submit. Now look at your next point. Consistent, authentic Christian living will silence unbelievers. The unbelievers there are the people that are persecuting the elect exiles. They're treating them unfairly. Remember, if you remember when Matt told us the background to this book, they had no rights. They were slaves. He's come into that where he says, hey, slaves, submit. How do you get past that today in 2018? But he says, submit, and it will silence the ignorant people or the foolish people. I love how he writes it. Isn't that politically correct? It will silence the talk of ignorant people, the old King James says, to which I'm like, I'm in on that. How can you make them be quiet? By living a holy life, an authentic life, submitting to the authority that's been placed over you. What about Abraham? I mean, Abraham messed up. He's walking into town, into a foreign city with a beautiful wife, and he says, tell them you're my sister so they don't kill me. Okay. And what's God do? He comes along. Sarah submits. Wives, how would you do with that? She submits, and what happens? God protects. God gets them out of the situation. But you know what happens later on? The king comes to Abraham and says, I see that you are blessed of God. Make a treaty with me so I don't wind up on the wrong side of you. Hello? See what I mean when I say counterculture? What about Jacob? Jacob, did he do everything right? Not quite. But what happens? Uncle Laban's coming after him, right? He's coming after him because he ran away. And the night before they meet together, God meets with Laban and says, don't you say a bad word to Jacob. Don't you do any harm to him. And what happens? They come and they make a treaty together to do no harm to one another. Why? Because God protects. Silence the talk of foolish men. What about the Apostle Paul and Silas? Hey, I got to ask you a question, church. If you were beaten, if you took 39 whoopings from a rod on your back and you did nothing wrong and they put you in chains and you and Silas were in chains, what would you do at midnight? Would you have taken your call and called the highest powered lawyer you know? Who knows what Peter and Silas did? At midnight, they sang hymns. Wait a minute, did we read that right? They were singing hymns, and it says the rest of the prisoners were listening to them. Submit to the governing authorities over you. He says, you slaves, not just to the good masters, but to the harsh ones, submit. And as they were singing, the earth quaked and the chains fell off. Submit to the authority over you. Everybody else know what happened? The jailer grabbed his sword because he was a Roman. And under Roman rule, if you let your prisoners go, what happened? You were dead. So the guard, you know, the runner, the guy running the prison, he takes his sword and he's about to run himself through. If you were Paul and Silas, what would you do? Serves you right. What's the Apostle Paul do? Don't harm yourself, he says. We're all here. I wonder if anybody in the crowd went, what's wrong with you, Paul? We're all here, he said. Don't harm yourself. Don't kill yourself. We're here. Your good behavior will silence the talk of foolish men. What did the jailer do? Did he put them back in chains? Did he lock them up? No. It says he cleaned their wounds. He said, what must we do to be saved? Is everybody listening? Did he get it with force? No, he got it with submission, with surrender, with submitting to the will of God by singing hymns in prison, in chains, after he took a beating. But your good behavior will silence the talk of foolish men. And the jailer and his family were converted. And then the next morning, the magistrates, the guys that threw him in prison, they said, okay, he's free to go. And then I love Paul. The righteous stand what? Bold as a lion. And Paul says, hey, now wait a minute. You beat us publicly. You put us in prison. We're not just going to walk out. We want you to escort us out. I wish I could have been there for that parade. And they walked out with him. They found out they were Roman citizens and they had been beaten without a trial. Silence the talk. They said, please leave. And Paul said, yep, after I go visit my friends. See, authentic Christian, consistent living will silence the foes. Your next point, it is commendable to suffer for doing what is right. Peter says, if you're going to suffer, suffer for doing what's right. Don't suffer for doing what's wrong. Where's your heart, church? I think the Holy Spirit wants to expel, he wants to expunge rebellion out of the church. I'm here to tell you, if you watch the news, you're going to think you have rights, and the devil's going to tell you, nah, it's 2018, God didn't really mean it, and we're wrong. God does mean every word. Look at your next point. Peter reminds the suffering exiles that they were called to follow Jesus' example during their trials. Verse 21, to this you were called. Boy, when you read that as a Christian, you go, yes, God called me to be his child and all this and that. If you read it in context, he says you were called to suffer. To which a lot of us go, oh, wait a minute, I didn't sign up for that one. But he says, to this you were called to follow Jesus' example during the trials. He gives you the greatest example in the world, and that's Jesus. Let me ask you a question, church. Was Jesus innocent? Yes. Did he deserve what he got? No. How did he take it? He quotes Isaiah 53. It says, like a sheep before the shears, he was silent. It says, when they insulted him, he didn't answer back. No deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate when he suffered. He made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges righteously. Here's the next one. Resist the temptation to rebel in the same way Jesus refused to threaten or retaliate. Let me ask you a question. You think Jesus could have retaliated? You remember in the garden when Peter pulls a sword, you know, he lops off the high priest's servant's ear, and Jesus is like, stop, put your sword away. Don't you guys know I could call on 10 legions of angels? In the Old Testament, one angel put 80,000 of the enemy to death. Do you know that? 10 legions of angels. Do you think Jesus had the firepower to get off the cross? Think of the things Jesus said on the cross. What would you have said on the cross? I'm coming back, boys. Isn't that the attitude of our nation today? We'll get even. That's not God. That's not God's spirit. That's not God's attitude. He didn't threaten. He didn't retaliate. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what's going on here. He asked for forgiveness. He surrendered. What do? You know, if that boss tells me to go there just one more time. When I quit farming and I went to work for Chaplain Larry doing garage doors, I went into the place and the people where we used to pick garage doors up said, hey, they were teasing me. They said, how's it feel being the gopher? How's it feel being the new guy? They said, they make you come after every door. Every time somebody forgets something, you got to come and do it. How do you like doing that? And I said, oh, folks. I said, compared to my last job, this is awesome. And they looked at me and they said, what are you talking about? I said, the last job I had, they used to dip their tails in cow manure and slap me. And they said, hon, I said, they would kick me and they would step on me and then they would dump me in the gutter sometimes. And they were looking at me like, what are you talking about? I said, I used to be a dairy farmer. And they just stood there looking funny at me. And I said, you know what I can't get used to? And they said, no, what? I said, I get paid every week now. They were like, get your door and get out of here. You see the attitude. Attitude. Peter says, don't retaliate. Vengeance is mine. Romans 12, vengeance is mine. God says, I will repay. Your next point, entrust your life to God who judges justly. Folks, no one gets away with anything. Oh, it looks like it here in the world. You know, these exiles who Peter's writing to, they were thinking, they're doing this to me. It's unjust. They shouldn't do it. It's all wrong. And Peter's saying, wait, just relax. Your good behavior could win them, but if it doesn't win them, they're going to stand before a righteous God. You know what's going to happen at the white throne judgment? It says every eye is going to see God. They're going to come before God. They're going to see the glory that they could have had. They're going to experience a taste of heaven, and then they will be completely set apart from it for eternity, and they will spend eternity knowing what they missed. Folks, can you punish that well? God says, vengeance is mine. One of my dad's favorite sayings, let it go. He'd say, life's too short, let it go. Turn yourself over to God. Folks, He will come to your aid. If He doesn't come to your aid here, in eternity, they can't get away with anything. Jesus said, into your hands, Dad, I commend my spirit. As we close, I want to look at the guy writing this letter. Remember Peter? Peter hung around with two guys, John and James. They were called the Sons of Thunder. When they were stopped from going through a city, they said, Jesus, you want us to call fire down from heaven and burn them? They knew they had the power. Jesus said, you boys don't know what spirit you're of. He said, that's not what we're here for. Remember Peter? Peter drew his sword. Jesus said, put your sword away, man. When Jesus said, I'm going to go to the cross, when he said, they're going to take me and they're going to punish me and I'll rise in 3 days, Peter said, come with me, Lord. Come on, I'm going to get you out of here. We're not going to let that happen. And Jesus said, Peter, get behind me, Satan. Peter said, you can't suffer, Lord. We don't want to suffer. Come on, we're all supposed to be happy. And Jesus said, that's not it. Look at Peter now. Peter says, if you suffer, suffer for what's right. He says, hey, slaves, submit to your masters, not just to the good masters, submit to the ones that are harsh and wrong and who give you a terrible time in this world. Did you notice he doesn't say get even? He doesn't say retaliate. He doesn't say insult. He says surrender. Submit. Father, I pray that our lives would change like Peter's life changed. I pray, Father, that rebellion would leave the church in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, that we could understand and that we could have the Holy Spirit in us to guide us and direct us, and that our good lives, our holy lives, would silence a crooked and perverse world. And that, Lord, we would win their souls, that they would give glory to you, Lord, because they see how we live. Lord, take your word today. By the power of your Holy Spirit, plant it in our hearts and make a change in our lives. And Father, I ask you to help us to change the attitude of our world. And that, Lord, we'd stop rebelling and we would submit to the authority that you've placed over us. And that, Lord, as we turn from our ways and we fall on our knees and pray, you'll heal this land. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If you need prayer today, we're here. We want to pray with you. There's time to come to the altar if you need to. If not, go in peace to love and serve our God. God bless you.